This episode of The Orb is brought to you by Audible.com, offering the largest selection of audiobooks for your smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter. Visit enterpriseinspace.org for more information. And if you'd like to help us keep Star Trek discussion coming to you each day, consider becoming a patron of the network through Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm and find out how you can become part of the team. That's patreon.com/trekfm.
This is J.G. Hertzler, General Martok on Deep Space Nine, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Welcome, Niners, to another episode of The Orb. I'm Kip Wilson, and joining me today is my friend, Henry Desmond. Henry, it's great to have you here with me in the Susan B. Anthony Hotel today.
I can't believe that we're here. I mean, it looks so nice. This looks a lot nicer than I remember.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the ladies keep it really nice. It's a lot better than that place where Chris and Matt live.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't believe that, wow, that they must have gotten some remodeling done in here. I'm really digging the look.
It's very nice. So today we're going to kind of lighten things up here on The Orb a little bit. We've had some serious shows recently, as we always do. So today we're going to bring you a commentary, or maybe a mockumentary, shall we say, for Profit and Lace.
I think that's the only way we could do this. I would just say that this is probably going to be the riff tracks for this Deep Space Nine episode, which has been ranked in certain magazines the worst episode of Deep Space Nine, which is funny, Chris, because that's exactly what I said to you before we started recording.
It is, right. And I told you, no, actually, it has been chosen that. Sci-Fi Channel's Sci-Fi Entertainment magazine back in, I want to say it was 1999, listed the best and worst Deep Space Nine episodes. The sixth season gave us both the best and the worst episodes, the best being In the Pale Moonlight, the worst being Profit and Lace. So you're not alone.
And it's funny, Chris, because so you would think that the story would go something like this. It was late at night. We were pushing deadlines. We needed a script. Somebody threw out this idea of, as a joke, what if we had Quark and drag? That's really not too far from actually what happened. They were having lunch and talking about this story about Moogie and the feminist movement. And
Rene Echevarria said that he kind of sees Quark and Rom in a dress, masquerading as women.
Which I really still think that the storyline should go. We had a few drinks, it was really late, and we wrote this script, and somehow it got published, because this is like Deep Space Nine's Spock's brain turnabout intruder mess, you know? I mean, it's just...
Maybe like Spock's brain.
Yeah, Spock's brain of Deep Space Nine.
The thing about it is, Renee says this, and then Ira kind of blew it off, and then they came back later and said, no, we're going to do it. And he was surprised. Oh, so they're really going to do it. I think where a lot of the mix-up comes in is that the writers wanted to do a farce, and Alexander Siddig wanted to do something more serious, like a serious commentary piece, working off the same script. And so the way that it actually came across in the finished product was maybe a tug of war between what the writer's vision was and what Siddig's vision was. And we ended up with something that's, it's funny in parts, but it's not really the comedic piece that it was intended to be.
I think that this is one of the things that kind of brought people to believe that all Ferengi episodes were just terrible. Because
you think it's this one?
Yeah, I think it's this one that really...
Because I think it happened way before this. Because this is sixth. This is almost the end of season six.
Right, except since this is at the end of the six seasons, it's one of the last Ferengi episodes we get. And so the last...
It is the last. It's the last true Ferengi show.
So that's the last taste in your mouth as somebody who's watched this show. And so you always kind of remember, oh, the Ferengi episodes were... It's terrible. I mean, they end up in dresses and, yeah. So I can understand why people think that, except, you know, we've talked about Little Green Men and some of the other great Ferengi episodes they've had, The Magnificent Ferengi. You know, there's some great, great stuff out there that the Ferengi did. I just think people had this as the last really bitter Sluggo Cola taste in their mouth for Ferengi episodes. And, you know.
So they got a little too much Sluggo Cola. They needed a little more Eelwazer.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So. All right. Well, anyway, I don't know. I think if I'm comparing bad ideas on Star Trek, I might prefer to spend a little more time here with Quark in the Susan B. Anthony Hotel in the Star Trek Bosom Buddies reality, as opposed to spending time in Jerry Taylor's gothic novels on Voyager.
Oh, wow. Those are both, how shall we say it? They're really upchuck-inducing, honestly. So, yeah, you've caught me between a rock and a gothic novel. I don't know what to choose.
All right, so well, let's get on into the episode here. So we're going to go through here. We might not have as many interesting tidbits as we often do during commentaries because we're just going to have fun getting into drag with Quark.
So don't think I've ever thought you were going to say that, Chris.
Those are phrases you never thought you'd hear on the
Orb. Exactly.
So cue up your episode however you watch on DVD, on Netflix, wherever it is, and we'll give you a countdown, and we'll start in 3, 2, 1, play.
I am truly impressed.
All right. Impressed. In all my years, the proprietor, Quark, really, Quark, not easily impressed? I feel like he's pretty impressionable, so.
I think so. Look at this. But 3 months, no customer this... When you watch this the first time, until you get to the end, mm-hmm. and then you understand why they've set it up this way, yeah. I mean, Worf is really coming off as an extreme sexist here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he really is. So, well.
He basically wants to get umox from one of his Dabo girls.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, not that he hasn't gone there before. And you know, unfortunately for her, she's gorgeous and Quark's a misogynist, so what are you going to do?
You're nice to the customers. You're nice to the Dabo girls.
He doesn't know what to say.
No, he's like, how do I get this girl to my quarters? It's terrible.
You have offended someone?
Look closely, Allura. Can't you see the pain in my eyes?
Well, what's interesting to me, though, seeing him act this way here is at this point in the series, I do feel like Quark has changed quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we talk about sometimes how Quark has changed. And here it's almost like a throwback to the Quark that you would have seen in Emissary.
Well, and as we were talking about it being the last Ferengi hurrah, you know, the last Ferengi episode, it kind of makes sense.
You want me to be nice.
Let's face it.
Oh, you want me to be... Nice, wings.
Exactly.
Oh, jeez. What's God? Can you imagine like this actually being a reality that like people could treat another person like this? And it, you know,
well, of course. I mean,
it's just terrible.
It is a reality even in our own world today, but especially here, Absolutely, I could.
Yeah, in the 24th century.
How most Ferengi would treat the Dabo girls.
This meeting. It's about our mother.
I'm in a meeting. It's a really important meeting. Do you understand? I'm about to get something special. Go away, brother.
But Rom's clueless about this.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, he's married at this point, but even if he weren't, he would still be clueless.
Yeah, exactly. Which is funny because the idiot got married to the hottest woman on the station.
Yeah.
And, you know, Quark is left trying to bribe women to...
Which Zek is going to take note of shortly.
Yes.
Hello, Laura. She's so nice.
I love it, Rom. Hello, Laura. And she just perks up like, oh, he's the sweetest.
A Dominion invasion of Ferenginar? Think of the terrible repercussions to the Alpha Quadrant. I cannot
I
think
love
of
this
any.
Part.
How could the Dominion invade Ferenginar without...
Worf, I cannot think of any.
And Michael Dorn's delivery of the line.
Perfect.
I cannot think of any.
Oh, God.
It's just so dismissive.
It's funny because I think all these characters are thinking... Could we lose Ferenginar? Would that be okay? Yeah, we could just let it go. We don't
care.
Yeah.
Long on Ferenginar.
We'll see what we can find out.
Captain, a Ferengi ship is approaching the station.
I'd like to see the Borg assimilate Ferenginar, and then they would become bankers. You know, I could
see. Oh my gosh, Borg bankers.
I could see drones. Yeah, yeah.
The world's strictest bank ever. I'm sorry, you have not paid your loan. You will be assimilated.
The nanites go into.
Yes. And then you have indentured servitude. So for however many years, you know, you kind of work off. Yeah, it's nice. Oh, man, Zek has some really nice Ferengi bell bottoms.
He does. So basically, it's like it's the 1970s on Ferenginar. Right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, look at Ishka's outfit here. She definitely looks like she just stepped out of the 70s.
Boogie, do you think it's a good idea to be wearing clothes? In public?
He's right. What if one of my Ferengi waiters sees?
The idea that Ferengi women walk around naked all the time just grosses me out. Like,
well, but as we understand from the discussions in this episode, I think they stay home all the time. They're not actually walking around
this is true.
In public
this is
that
true.
Way all the time.
3 days ago, I added a new amendment to the Ferengi Bill of Opportunity. Giving females the right to wear clothes.
In public?
Anywhere.
Zek
we
is
want.
One of the funniest characters. Like, he's just. And
he
he's
really
just
is.
Clueless.
Like,
really.
He's
like,
irritating, but Wallace Shawn plays it so brilliantly, annoyingly.
Yes.
What's
yeah.
And whiny.
Yeah. Afraid of a little competition?
It's like he took. The way that Armin Shimerman plays it and turned it up to a 35, you know, just...
Okay.
For thousands of years, Ferenginar has allowed a valuable
this is so funny,
waste.
Too, because, female. Like, Zek is so taken with her, he cannot see that she's basically using him to undermine... Ferengi society as they know it. Not that it's a bad thing, but
right,
I just think
as they know it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I mean, she's trying to move them forward.
Yep, exactly.
But he's the person who would normally be trying to maintain the status quo.
Exactly, yeah.
All over the planet.
That explains the communication blackout.
There was so much buying and selling throughout the Alliance that the entire planetary communications grid...
So in Ferenginar, when chaos breaks out, people don't burn sofas in the streets.
No,
it's financial chaos.
Exactly. They're buying and selling too much. They're actually legitimately buying and selling. So they're not rioting in the streets or anything. No, they're just at home online shopping too much. Oh, my gosh.
So then Ferengi Amazon is behind the whole thing, right?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine drones from Ferengi Amazon? I feel like they'd be like Peeping Toms as well.
For 3 more days. Together
oh, and this is one of the greatest things here, especially the reaction of Quark and Rom when they find out that Brunt may become Grand Nagus.
Yeah, yeah.
It's their worst nightmare.
It is... It's funny because this episode doesn't start off bad. It starts off pretty interesting. And then it just kind of continues to descend into certain levels of Ferengi cross-dressing hell. And so, you know, because the premise is interesting, how Ferenginar is changing, and I think that was an important thing for the whole show to kind of see that progression. And obviously, you know, I think they wanted, and they always used the Ferengi as the basis for, you know, that kind of very consumeristic society and what happens if you get lost in that. And trying to see it overcome itself was their way of doing what Star Trek always does. And
yeah,
it's just sad that, like, the episode that's kind of trying to do that the most is also the episode that's ranked the worst episode of the series ever.
Well, like I said, I don't know that that was really the writer's intention for this episode.
The cross-dressing,
we
or
can
being
certainly
the worst?
Watch it. Yeah, well, we can certainly watch it, and we can get that from it. And they have set up the storyline that Ishka is trying to make these changes happen on Ferenginar. But I really think with this episode, they really just wanted to do this high farce, and it just didn't translate on screen, because that's not how Siddig read it.
Right.
It's not how Shimmerman read it.
Yeah, because if you're going to do basically Monty Python on Star Trek, you just have to commit.
Well, speaking of that, when Rom ran through the airlock right there at the end,
yeah.
I was thinking of the Ministry of Silly Walks.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
All right. So the credits end, and you're thinking, okay, we've got another great Deep Space Nine episode coming up. And then you find out it's called Prophet in Lace.
Which...
who's going to be wearing the lace?
Which reminds me of the great old Cary Grant film, Arsenic and Old Lace.
The sole legitimate government of Ferenginar.
I still can't believe it. Brunt is the new Magus?
Acting Magus.
So the sole legitimate government of Ferenginar is going to be based in Quark's quarters.
Yeah, because Brunt is trying to take over because of all of the... ridiculous, I quote unquote, changes that Zach has been making. So,
can you imagine any society under the leadership of Brunt?
I can't imagine a society that actually functions led by any of these people, honestly.
Yeah, to be honest, at the end of the series, when Rom becomes Grand Nagus, I don't really see that working either, personally.
No. I mean, having somebody who has no business sense whatsoever leading the entire, you know, empire of people who do nothing but business.
Yeah.
Seems like a bad idea. Maybe he should, you know, go to space school and get a, you know, online MBA or something.
As Grand Nagus of the Ferengi.
So here, Ishka is just laying it all out, exactly what her plan is, and Zek still doesn't see.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He's just as clueless as ever. Yeah. I mean, it's hilarious.
Now, this is so awesome. Zek.
I won't Zek hold that
against
him. Zek
is so into Lita.
I've heard so much about you.
Would you like to hear more?
Remember, she's Rom's wife.
Would you like to hear more? You know...
and right in front of his wife.
Exactly. You know, he... she might have married Rom, but Rom's a darn sight better looking than you. You, like, droopy-eared, creepy-sounding weirdo.
He really is very... He's like the 75, 80-year-old guy who goes down to the Regal Beagle on Three's Company and hits on Chrissy.
Exactly. He's, I mean, he's the creepiest creeper old dude you've ever seen.
He's counting on your support.
You'll be presented with some very interesting financial data.
There's profit.
I like how Quark, Rom, and Nog all turn on their nicer business voices to make these announcements to everyone, especially Rom.
Grand Nagus
Zek.
Yeah.
Who said he was dead?
Wait, don't end the transmission.
Hello?
Hello?
Zack is dead? Wait. That kind of makes sense. So he's like the Night of the Living Zack. Kind of looks like he's been dead for a while, honestly.
Right.
Like Keith Richards.
I beg Hello? Your pardon?
Hello?
There's no need to Hello? Be insulting.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
That Hello? Female happens to be Hello? My mother.
Is this Alexander Siddig? Was this his first episode to direct? Or he directed...
No. He directed...
Business as Usual was the other one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I helped every one of those people earn a fortune.
And this is how they repay me?
What a bunch of ingrates.
Well, the news isn't all bad. The commissioner who's agreed to come, it's Nilva.
The chairman of Sluggo Cola.
He's a very powerful and influential voice within the FCA.
I think that the other thing that people just don't like about this episode is like, who cares about Ferengi politics? Like, if you thought the prequel politics were bad, this is like 20 times worse.
Would agree to come to the meeting?
I'm not sure, but if I can convince him to support
But Zach, who doesn't love an episode where they get to sing the jingle for Sluggo Cola? It's the slimiest cola in the galaxy, Matthew.
Oh, this is very true, and I'm glad that I was able to pour myself a glass before we started.
You should drink it the way Char does, you know, spiked with vodka.
It might make it taste better.
I'll take an Ilva, sir. No ice.
I love that, bro.
What are you
just
here,
to be
Brent?
Difficult,
yeah,
I'll take
exactly.
an Ilva, sir.
That's Grand Negus, Brunt.
Acting oh, man, Brand Jeffrey Negus. Combs, he's everywhere.
Someone he is everywhere. He's really good as Brunt, too. The way he acts through all this makeup, because we're used to seeing him as Wayun more often than not on this show, and this makeup is so heavy.
That's what it takes.
I don't
what's funny is I love that Ishka's outfit is just the most ridiculous, opulent thing you've ever seen. You know, so we thought male-female clothes were bad and opulent and ridiculous. But apparently females have taken it to the next level on Ferenginar.
I never could have given you your job back with the FCA.
But you did.
But can you see Jake Sisko wearing some of these Ishka outfits?
I think there's too much fringe on top for Jake. So.
Okay, but the pattern, though.
Oh, yeah. See that the pattern. Yeah. It's definitely Jake.
Like, I think the dress that Ishka's wearing right now, I think that that's the pattern used on bus seat covers on Ferenginar.
Probably is.
Sluggo Cola instead. On second thought.
Okay, so now he's going to order a Sluggo Cola just to be difficult.
I love that apparently, whatever this drink is of Ferenginar, it requires a lemon.
Right.
So they always have to get those imported. Like, did that only happen when they had met Earth? You know, and
yes, right.
and they were able to get lemons because I don't remember those just being native to other planets.
That's probably a Bajoran citron right there, Matthew.
Oh, okay.
Liquidate us tomorrow, but right now this is still my establishment. Now get out before
I thought it was a Klingon orange, but you know, could be wrong.
Yuri Lash, we're leaving.
I love that.
Say goodbye to these poor people.
Huge Mehardu. I always loved that character, that he just, you know, follows the Negus around. And apparently, if you're Negus, you get a Mehardu yourself. Because I love that Brunt has one as well.
Well, I was going to say that I would like to see Mehardu and the guy who always comes aboard with the Waxana Troy on The Next Generation.
Yes.
I think they should have their own spin-off series.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should have a spin-off series.
It'd be really quiet. So,
right.
Just lying here, wondering if it's not too late for me to start a new life.
So here's a part where I feel that the way that Armin Shimerman and Alexander Siddig saw this story differs a lot from what Ira and the guys wrote. We get this very serious conversation here between mother and son.
I'm your mother. I can't leave you alone.
Try!
I like that basically she has bells on so you can hear when she's coming, you know, with all of this fringe on top that it just swishes around. It's kind of like when somebody gets their hair, you know, in those really tight braids, the dreadlocks with the beads on them.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me of Monica and Friends.
Well, see, I would be worried because if I were wearing this, because I have problems sometimes when I'm passing by a door or I'm getting on and off the train or somewhere and like my headphone cable will snag on something.
Yes, can you imagine when you get caught?
Yeah, like you're in a crowded train, you're trying to slip out the door before the doors close, and your giant necklace that's attached to both of your ears gets caught on someone's backpack.
Follow them for 5 blocks trying to get it off.
Right? So you get caught in the door.
You're not fooling me, Moogie. You've been plotting this all along. Ever since you met Seth, you've been working on him, manipulating him.
I mean, this outfit for Ishka takes the whole, like, tights as pants thing that's everywhere right. These days for women to a whole new level.
See, this is marketing that CBS should be doing, right? If tights as pants is a thing right now, they should have a whole Star Trek line,
yes,
and they
exactly.
should start with... You can have Ishka pants.
Ishka pants. You can have the 7 of 9 pants. You know. The T'Pol pants.
The T'Pol pants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I want my own Negus back. Do you? I want Zek to be the way he used to be.
Now, Quark, on the other hand here, this is one of the more classy looks for him, isn't it?
It actually all matches.
Yeah. Like, and it's not extremely noisy.
No. It's actually pretty nice.
Like, I could see this maybe, like, if you go by maybe Eddie Bauer. I could see it in a window display.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Or it kind of has this strange, you know, Swiss feeling, like, you know, like some Lederhosen or something kind of look to it. Chris, I could see you walking around Japan with this vest on.
There you go, internet. There's a Photoshop job for you. Take this, but then Photoshop Quark in Lederhosen. So for the pants,
that'd be awesome.
Let's get the shorts going with
yes.
this.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you are you. Go ahead. Say it.
You're a...
I'm still waiting.
So this scene, they apparently had to reshoot because it got too serious. And when she faints, they needed to make it comedic here at the end so that the episode didn't completely go off in this direction that was unintended.
Moogie, please don't die.
This is, this is where it's like...
Moogie!
I hope so. For my sake, for her sake.
I just want to know who came up with the idea of the word Moogie. And it's
so here you go, right here. Look at Zek, Matthew. I've noticed something about Ferengi.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we get older, like much older, we start to get, you know, little breasts.
Yeah.
And they get kind of like wrinkled up. Look at Quark's forehead. Check out the lobes.
Yep, yep.
And then check out Zek's.
Yes, yep.
Isn't it the exact same thing going on right here? I think they even have nipples on
them. Your mother says.
Doctor, how's Moogie?
Will she live?
Oh, yes, she'll
live. He should wear like a bro up there. Keep it up, you know? Like
he needs a bro or a man's ear.
A man's ear, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. A head's ear.
What is that, Doctor?
I'm not sure exactly. All I do know is that...
Now, do you think that Dr. Bashir on the side, is he actually an Imperial guard for the Emperor in Star Wars?
He kind of looks like...
Does he
like
have the
yeah,
whole
he
big
just,
red
he
helmet?
He took off the helmet.
Yeah.
Which, in the latest Star Wars book, Lords of the Sith, you actually... They have that unveiling of one of the guys taking off his helmet for some reason. It doesn't happen very often.
And she clutched her chest and collapsed.
Is she the worst thing that's happened to the Ferengi Alliance?
I don't know. I think The Last Outpost is the worst thing that ever happened to the Ferengi Alliance.
Ooh, burn. Yeah. Where are the laser whips? I miss the laser whips and the fur.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. You know, the fur and the laser whips gave way to 70s disco outfits, apparently.
And this is where the episode goes off the rails.
This is where it goes off the rails?
Yeah, your mom is Well, she's in the hospital because of you. I guess we're going to need you to dress like a woman.
Right.
By the time I get through it.
Because there's no other Ferengi woman that you could possibly get to pretend to be Ishka.
Well, not on the station at the moment. I mean, that is the thing. Like, they have to do something right now. They don't have time to go and get Pell or someone to come back.
Couldn't you have him beat them in the holosuite and just create a Ferengi woman? Wouldn't that be a much better plan?
That's true. I mean, to be honest, I think that this guy probably spends a lot of time in holosuites.
Exactly.
With females anyway.
Exactly, and he'd never know the difference. Give him enough libations and Vulcan love slaves, and once he met her, Ishka, or the avatar of Ishka, yeah.
Because doesn't Nilva seem to you like a younger Zek in that I have a feeling mm-hmm. that when Zek was Nilva's age, he was, you know, chasing the ladies just like Nilva chases Quark.
Yes,
in
yes.
this episode, yeah. And eventually, he'll become the whiny old man.
Well, I mean, I think he sees also exactly what Quark was doing at the beginning. You know, like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Exactly,
here,
yeah.
Read these special rules on how to make your employer happy.
So Quark is Nilva, maybe 20 years younger.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nilva is Zek, maybe like 20 years younger.
Yeah, definitely.
So we have three generations of chauvinists in this episode.
See, yeah, this is where they didn't need them in drag. All they needed to do was use a neural link for Ishka, who's in the infirmary. She's fine. And she can control her avatar. And
okay.
We could avoid Quark with breasts.
I'd call the operation a complete success.
It must have been a very delicate procedure.
Oh, complete success. And they actually went as far as to give him the actual operation to change him. It's what makes right. it even worse.
Well, they had to, you know, change his head and make it smaller and make him look a little more feminine.
You look nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's...
That's all.
It's...
Very
this,
nice.
Oh, gosh.
You may look like a female, but you have to do something about that voice.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
Well, try harder.
And stop looking down.
I need to see what I look like.
I do think Armin had fun playing this part, though. He actually did go and study Tootsie to learn how to play this role, how to actually play it as a woman. Not like, haha, I'm a woman, but I'm really not.
There go his hormones.
You mean her hormones?
Take it away! I'm sorry. I just feel so
I can't, yeah.
This, would you stop this staring is, at your chest?
I'm not staring at
my chest, I'm staring at my hips.
Aren't they too big?
Your hips are...
It definitely can't decide whether it wants to be serious or funny.
For her meeting with Nilva, study them carefully.
Quark trying to walk in heels. Armin did say after this that he has a new appreciation for women who wear high heels because...
Oh, yeah.
And every time high heels, you know, most women in Japan wear high heels that you see around Tokyo. And I always wonder, like, how do you walk in those things? I don't
know. Not comfortably.
No.
You're lumbering.
Yeah, what's wrong with your walk? You look kind of like a cow when you walk instead of a graceful
You're
woman.
Lumbering.
I love that it's Rom
exactly,
who
yeah.
shows him how to walk.
Well, and this is like on Seinfeld. Do you remember when Kramer was coaching, was it Miss Rhode Island for the pageant?
Yeah.
And he was showing her how to walk.
What is he doing? Rom might have missed his calling as, you know, a pageant coach.
You're so adorable.
I really wish, if they were going to put them in drag here, I really wish they had also put Rom in drag.
Come on, brother, I'll take you back to the chair.
Yeah, I mean, two for the price of one, so.
Well, don't you think that Max would have really played this part well? Better than Armin, actually, as a woman.
That is
I think it would have been funnier.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I can do this. It's only one meeting.
I can't imagine, too, for Armin being in this suit that, you know, just like, it looks like one of the most uncomfortable things, having to be in this outfit all day.
Yeah. Oh, this is so funny.
You know, you may walk like a man, but you make a very attractive female. Confusing, isn't it?
Not to me.
Apparently, though, Zek still throwing himself at anybody who walks by.
For me, one of the funniest lines in the episode. He says, "You make a very attractive female. Confusing, isn't it?"
Yeah. Oh goodness. Well, it's a good thing that he didn't meet that Davo girl, because he probably would have hit on her too.
Oh, of course he would. Yeah. I mean, he hits on everybody. Why do you think Jadzia is hiding in this episode?
Good point. She is not leaving Ops, no matter what happens. She's got a cot in Cisco's office.
Lumba?
Lumba. Is that because he was lumbering across the room?
That's my guess, yeah.
You'd better work on that voice.
Any other comments?
Has anyone ever told you that you have lovely eyes?
See,
lovely eyes, yeah. She's got those.
You know, honestly,
eyes.
Without Zek, this episode would not work at all.
No, you're right. It really wouldn't.
The slimiest coal in the galaxy? Doesn't everybody?
Good boy. Now, take me
the slimiest cola in the galaxy. It looks like pink. It looks like green Pepto-Bismol.
It does. Well, we have a drink here, a very popular drink here, Matthew, in Japan. A sports drink called Pecari Sweat.
It sounds like a really bad liquor.
Their slogan should be the sweatiest drink in the galaxy.
We only bottle the best, Chuck Norris.
Bottled fresh at the source at your local gym.
I find you here.
I thought after your meeting with Zek, we could have a little chat.
Oh my gosh. The thought of Grand Nagus Brunt, I just can't imagine the chaos that would ensue on Ferenginar.
Which is why you'll be meeting with another one of Zek's.
Can you see a little bit of Vladimir Putin in Brunt? Could you picture...
Maybe if he took off his shirt.
Oh, yeah. And rode a horse through the corridors.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And maybe kissed a baby.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like everything Brunt does. I'm just picturing it with Putin's face.
I want to meet Lumba.
That is awesome. Brunt equals Putin. Get that on a bumper sticker. Put that on a Star Trek t-shirt.
Lumba? You know, you don't see Cisco anymore in this episode. They're all up in Ops. Like, I'm not going anywhere near this.
Yeah, they enjoyed a very light episode here, and they were all glad for it because
they got their paychecks.
Yeah,
and
they saw the script for this one and was like, oh god, sorry about this, Alexander. This is good luck.
Now
I'm exhausted. If I don't get any sleep, I'll never make it through tomorrow's meeting.
Who could that be?
What's funny is that Quark reminds me in this episode as a woman, as like a grandmother. Like, the way that he kind of... He comes off as the grandmotherly type, which is really funny.
Oh, don't worry. I brought enough for everyone.
He insisted...
Why don't you watch this this episode? Watch Quark as Helen from Three's Company.
Okay.
A clothed female Ferengi. And with your approval, no less. Either you've been inhaling too much Beetlesaw.
Well, you might be surprised if she was unclothed right now.
Well, that depends on how thorough the operation was, Matthew.
This is true. This is true.
Because at one point, Quark actually does open it all up in the front to prove that he is a woman.
I totally forgot that happened. This is how much I watch this episode.
I'm due back on Ferenginar for an important stockholders meeting. Oh, but those snail steaks do sound tempting. No.
See, now, I think snail steaks makes no sense at all. Wouldn't they be really, really small?
My guess is that on Ferenginar, you have some seriously big-ass snails.
Oh, I mean, maybe, the planet it rains is a all swamp, the time, right?
So, yeah. Can you imagine?
So would that be like snail on the half shell?
Yes. And what's really nice is that, you know, their slime trails, you know, that makes for great glue. So.
Let's eat.
This is so creepy.
Yeah, it's... I think that's the other thing about this episode is that there's just this weird creepy factor. You know, it's not trying to say anything big or large about, you know, transgendered people or anything like that. There's
well, no,
none of that at all.
In the 90s when this was
it's
written.
It's just
you know.
This horribly awkward episode that should just probably have stayed an idea of Quark and Drag instead of actually seeing Quark and Drag.
Under all these clothes, I know I'm totally naked.
I'll try to remember that. Now, you better explain to me how allowing females to wear clothing is going to make me richer than I already am.
I was hoping. Now, here's the one bit of good reasoning in this episode. Just from a business perspective, Quark is able to explain to him why women should have the same rights in a way that a Ferengi businessman can understand and can get on board with.
Yeah,
because if you're
going to
affect change like that, you've got to convince them somehow first, and then maybe over time,
yeah,
it takes hold.
Have pockets. Once they have pockets, they're going to want to fill them
well,
with
land. It's so funny to me that Ferengi, who do nothing but think of ways to make money, nobody's thought, you know, keeping half the population at
right.
home and not yeah, buying yeah. something as sellable as clothing, that's probably not the best business plan, is it?
That is true. And that's what I always think when I listen to this discussion is that you would think that someone would have already thought of this.
Meaning what?
Yeah.
I read the beverage.
And maybe it's, I guess, they're trying to say it's the lust of the men that's kept that business sense from happening before. Like they've just, you know, because they have their women under control like they do.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, I mean, we see this a bit in Japan still today. It's improved a lot over the years I've lived here, a couple of decades I've been here, but this is still very much a male-dominated society. And it's kind of like, still like the States were maybe in the 60s. And there's this stubbornness. Like, if you stop and think logically, yeah, of course it makes sense. Women should have equal rights. They should hold the same jobs. They should be paid the same. Why would you want to limit half of your population like
right.
that? But yet there's this stubbornness that you just can't get past. And that's what I see in the Ferengi a lot, especially here in Nilva. Although he starts to come around, you can actually reason with him. Or maybe he's just so blinded by Quark's beauty.
Yes, it's exactly because he's become entranced with Quark / Lumba at this point.
He really is entranced.
Their whole conversation about that the slimiest cola in the galaxy doesn't sell to women. It's just so yeah. funny. And they start talking about this algae that's like 40%
right.
some kind of algae.
In every bottle.
Like, oh, well, that sounds healthy. Have you had your algae today?
Oh, I never ever thought I'd find a clothed female so
So, apparently, as is often the case when, you know, something is forbidden, you have people who develop this fetish for it. And apparently, Ferengi businessmen have this fetish for clothed females.
Apparently so. Which is...
Stimulating.
Oh, can I help it if my lobes burn for you?
If you don't believe, this is just the most awkward.
At this point,
scene.
You're like, okay, whatever, right?
This is the point when you're checking your watch. You're like, how much time is left in this episode? Because I'm not really sure I want to see where this goes.
Right, I know, right?
You know, when they said it happened one night, I didn't want to know this happened.
This is why, by the way, Matthew, Vulcan Love Slave, one of the best-selling holosuite programs of all time. Ferengi Love Slave, on the other hand, is in the one-strip bargain bin at the Ferengi grocery store.
Ferengis don't even buy it.
Exactly.
Yeah. They.
What you need is a cold shower.
It's actually, just as this is ranked the worst episode of Deep Space Nine ever, Ferengi Love Slave is also ranked the worst-selling holosuite program of all time.
Absolutely.
Oh, you torture me.
Stay away.
Stay away. I'll jump. I'll catch you.
I'll jump from this chair.
Yeah.
That man!
I'm trying.
Would you please leave? You're making Lumba nervous.
Man. His name's not Lumba. It's Quark.
Can you imagine someone walking by the set while they're shooting this who didn't know anything about the story? You'd be like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Some executive from Paramount walks
exactly.
down. Like, let's shut the whole thing down right now.
You know, it wasn't when Vic came on the show.
Right.
It was when they dressed Quark up. They knew they could do whatever the hell they wanted.
Yes, that's the moment. Yeah.
It's the moment they're like,
when we did Profit and Lace and no one said anything, we knew we could do whatever the hell we wanted. When Armin Shimmerman
passionately kisses another Ferengi male. Yeah.
Oh, man. While dressed in drag, of course, right. on Star Trek.
And this may be the creepiest scene I've ever seen in Star Trek.
Now, are you sure?
So, Matthew, you know, when they remaster DS9 on Blu-ray,
oh, God. Don't
in the
say
extras,
it.
We're going to get to see the other camera angle of this
oh,
scene.
Oh, that is TMI. No, Chris. I'm going to need some brain bleach now, please.
Did you see the look on my Hardu's face?
Yes.
Right there in the background. He may not speak, but he doesn't need to speak.
No. He said a lot. Like, I cannot believe this is happening. That Ferengi went that far. He's insane.
And what about that doctor
His
who did it?
His name's Quark! Yeah.
And I wonder if he does facelifts as well.
And Jeffrey Combs, right there. His name is Quark. And then the expression just sums up the entire audience's feelings at this point, right?
Interesting ring.
I love that this is Odo's only appearance in the episode. Is here to make fun of Quark.
But this is classic. I mean, this is the relationship we love in DS9 between Odo and Quark. No one else could have walked in here. It had to be Odo.
And also a strength.
It had to be you.
Sometimes he'd get this little glint in his eye. You know what I mean.
Quark's like, oh my gosh, what's going on here?
Look,
I can't believe I just said that. And Odo's thinking,
it may be ridiculous, absolutely, but Armin Shimmerman plays this so well, especially in this scene.
He's selling it. We just didn't want to buy what he was selling.
That's right, but he's good.
Is there anything I can do?
So, okay, this is a good question. Odo can be a man or a woman.
Yeah.
So, does he know what really the difference is? You know, or is it just the shell that he is, and what's inside is always just Odo, and what makes one changeling a,
I think, yeah. I think it's just a physical appearance, and there's more, and he got his appearance here in the episode. Yeah, I think with the changelings, it's just the shell, it's just the physical shape that they take.
I love that they've hugged And as soon as the other Ferengi walk in, Odo gets out of there as fast as possible. Right. He's like, I never want to be that close to Quark again.
He's like, no, that's Rene going, oh my God, I'm in a Ferengi episode. Escape!
Yes.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I'm glad we have Nilva on our side. And we have you to thank for that, Quark.
Will you forgive me, Mookie?
Of course I do. You may be a lousy son, but you made a wonderful daughter. I hope the experience taught you something.
So, not only was there apparently some physical alteration performed by Dr. Bashir, but Quark also received hormone treatment in this episode, which is only implied by the way Armin plays the role here to the end. And then you see the hormones start to wear off in the final scene when he realizes that he just turned to down Umox.
I think that's what did it. That's what finally cleared those hormones. Is when the testosterone started to kick back in.
Yeah.
With what the hell have I done?
Yeah.
Quark?
And I don't know what I think about any of this. Like, it's meant to be humorous, but it's also kind of surprising coming from Star Trek and the DS9 writers that it does all come across as very stereotypical and sexist, does it not?
Yeah. Well, and they're trying to, like, kind of preach against the sexism and everything, but at the same time, they're, like, subtly reinforcing it, especially with this last scene where she's like, oh, I don't... It kind of seems like fun.
No, it's not that.
Then what?
It's just that...
Apparently,
sounded like fun.
Hot women love Ferengi.
It seems that way, doesn't it? Yeah.
I don't want to know what the tympanic tickle is. Or the Station 3 rub.
Exactly the way I feel about it.
Yeah, see, the fact that she's disappointed that she's not going to have to do things for her boss, it doesn't make any sense for Deep Space Nine. And this is, I think, obviously why it ranks up there with, like, the worst of the craziest sexist type episodes you've seen in the original series, you know?
Yeah, it kind of does, doesn't it? And that's what's shocking, that it was written in, what, 1998? And it still comes across, because on the one hand, they are setting it up in the beginning and then here in the closing to try to say, you know, Quark shouldn't be acting that way. But then at the end, he starts acting that way again. And all the stuff in the middle, even like when Leeta says, oh, his hormones are kicking in, something like that. Even that, I'm like kind of surprised that they write that, because, I mean, it is a biological fact that hormones affect our mood and our behavior. That's just science. But to say it that way feels very sexist.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the whole episode is a stereotypical trope fest. I mean, it's just as bad as it gets. And it's really why I feel like, honestly, the only way to watch it is with a mocking eye, because everything it's trying to say, it's hurting itself as it tries to say it.
Yeah.
And that's very unfortunate that would happen, because the episode could have been written in a way, in a lot of different ways, to say some really interesting things. And obviously, the whole point of, like, putting a misogynistic character in the body of what he is so prejudiced against, basically, is a very interesting idea. That actually is a very Star Trek-y idea. It could be the actual turnabout intruder that's good, but they don't do it well, and it actually comes off like the turnabout intruder, just as kind of sexist and terrible.
Well, that's one thing that Armin said that disappointed him about the episode, is that Quark didn't learn anything from the episode. And you would think that if Quark were going to be a woman for any period of time, that in the end he would have learned something from the experience. And he is certainly the character on the show who could most learn from that and maybe change his behavior. But he doesn't. He goes right back.
Really, what he learned was that, no, Dabo girls love to give up umox. That's exactly what he learned in the episode.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's terrible. That's really, really terrible. So. Yeah.
All right. Well, there is Profit and Lace. Now, Matthew, I don't know if you really thought about this, but this is the end of season six. And, you know, Scott Bakula worked on Enterprise to get the season down to 22 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He said 26, way too many. 24 is too many. 22 is the sweet spot, he felt. And, you know, I've also felt that, although I like to have more and more Star Trek episodes, that almost every season of every Star Trek series has these moments where you feel like they're padding because they have to get to 26. The episode right after this one, Time's Orphan.
Oh.
So.
And another one of the worst episodes of Deep Space Nine.
So we've got like back to back. We have, I mean, I think, well, now maybe you and I feel that Profit and Lace is the worst episode, but prior to this, I think you and I had pretty much been in agreement that Time's Orphan was the worst DS9 episode. So we've got strong contenders back to back for worst episodes in DS9.
You know, that this is something to be said for, I think, been having this discussion on a whole other level because of a show that I've been watching for a very long time, Grey's Anatomy, and some things that happened recently on that show. But the whole idea of one, how many episodes that you have a year in American television, and two, how many years you go for a show as well. And so, you know, when you keep doing 23, 24, 25, 26 episodes a season, and you go for so many seasons, of course you're going to start to run dry on some storylines. And I think that's one of the brilliances of British television is that they usually have maybe 12 episodes a year.
Oh, well, sometimes just six. Sometimes, you know? Six.
So, and that way you're able to tell your best stories in a very good, concentrated way.
Yeah.
And the series feels more rewarding that way as well. So,
well, go on Hulu, and if you haven't seen it, there is a show called The Wrong Mans, and it's a British comedy. It's kind of a dark comedy. And if I remember correctly, the first season is 6 episodes, and the second season is 4 episodes. And it's a really good show, but it's one of those things where if they tried to stretch that out to be an American TV show, the show would not be very good, I think, because the situations they would have to put the characters in would just become ridiculous.
Well, and the other thing, too, you know, that I've been seeing, especially in TV and the shows that I'm really enjoying these days, have been The Flash and Arrow. And that's because those shows are not afraid to tell their best stories now. They're not waiting. Yeah. And they're not afraid to do them quickly so that every episode feels important as you're watching a show. And I think that's a really good thing to learn as well. It's like, you know, you don't know how long you'll be on, so tell your best stories now. And if, you know, who knows, that may just give you the creative juice to actually keep doing more series and seasons, depending on where you are in the world, because British people call them series, not seasons. So
right. So to bring this back around to today's episode and DS9, 3 episodes in a row here, Valiant, Profit and Lace, Time's Orphan. Take all 3 of those away and you're down to 23 episodes.
Valiant is interesting, at least. It has an interesting premise, much more interesting than either of the other two.
Well, I agree with you on that, and we've done a show on it here on The Orb as well, and we found some good stuff in there, but the premise of it, you know, Red Squad, they're behind Dominion lines in a defiant
class ship. Red Squad.
You know,
Red Squad.
It's just, if you think there's so much good stuff in season 6, and then it sort of peters out here at the end, you get the sound of her voice, which you and I both feel is a really great episode, but
excellent
a lot
episode.
Of fans don't like that episode. I think it's just too slow. It's just too, it's them talking to this woman, you know. I think it's a great episode, but for most fans, I do think season six kind of slows down, and then you get Tears of the Prophets at the end. But before that, yeah.
Well, and what's hard about that, the end of the season, and what's, I think, probably one of the most frustrating things about it, is that as it is wrapping itself up, they are really doing a disservice to the character of Jensea, because she's about to die. And you've got all these episodes that really have nothing to do with her. Yeah. And she has nothing to do in them. So it's really disappointing that, you know, the fact that the, you know, Valiant, Prophet Lace, Time's Orphit, Sound of Her Voice really don't have her at the forefront. You know, I feel like each one of those episodes should be more about her and Worf, you know, maybe trying to plant a family and everything, so that when you get Tears of the Prophets, it is a lot sadder that she dies, you know? But yeah, those episodes really do nothing to kind of further the end game for the season in the way that the other seasons had. And so it is a frustration that that's kind of where you end up.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, everyone. There's our little take on Prophet and Lace, and it's possibly the last time we'll talk about it here on The Orb. So,
oh, thank God.
We enjoyed that. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on the network recently. So here's a quick look at some other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek FM.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Set this movie at the end of the five-year mission. Skip ahead 5 years, you know, kind of like Dark Knight or whatever. And then say, okay, we've had all these adventures, blah, 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 blah. And now we're at the end. We're about to go home, you know, and it's been a, you know, a fun time was had by all.
Earl Grey.
Again, you know, because it's January, my ship was shot beyond the bounds of normal interstellar travel to the center of the galaxy, but we were back in time for tea.
The Orb.
They're not even thinking about it at this point. Okay, how do we start the resistance? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do we do all this?
Yeah.
Because they have become comfortable with where they are and thinking that they're doing all they can, and yet we know, as the audience, that they're not.
To the journey!
I want you to say right now in front of our friends, okay, and in front of me and the Lord Almighty, what is your favorite season?
Okay, this isn't the favorite season.
I want you to tell me what your favorite season is.
Daniel and Darren, promise we won't ever be like this.
The Ready Room.
So what's the deal? You know, does Tom have a dad we don't know about?
Apparently.
Because who was this guy that he was remembering as his dad?
Was that Nick Locarno's dad?
That was Nick Locarno's dad, yes.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
But I mean, here's the question, John. If you're living Fight Club, then, you know, we have to ask. If you could fight anyone, who would you fight?
William Shatner.
All right.
Literary Treks.
The main storyline here is the battle for the Vulcan soul. They are one of the most logical races, and yet they have an intensely spiritual aspect to them.
Axanar, the official podcast.
You were there. How long did we wait for them to try and reach that footprint?
Oh, man, it was at least as long as the Enterprise penetrating V'ger's outer shield to getting into the actual machine core.
The 602 Club.
So, as far as the realism question is concerned, whether or not it's the right thing to do, it's the Marvel way to do it. I mean, I think that's the defining difference between Marvel and DC.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe. You can find us everywhere that you get your podcasts. You can find us in iTunes, Spreaker, TuneIn, BlackBerry, Windows Phone, SoundCloud. Matthew, I have a new way of describing this. You can find us everywhere that audio leaks from your speakers. What do you think?
There you go. I don't know if that really applies to all demographics, though. Do you really think that's going to bring everybody in by saying leaks from your speakers?
Yeah, I don't know. I might have to talk to Quark about that and see if he has some better advice for me.
Make sure he's on his hormone therapy, though.
Especially if you have Sluggo Cola leaking from your speakers.
Oh, well, then you just need new speakers at that point.
So grab our shows there. There's also the master feed. If you want to sample all of our shows, maybe you listen to The Orb and a couple of others, go subscribe to the master feed. You get every single show, including Mission Log, in that feed. It's a great way to sample everything and find out which shows you want to listen to. And the ones that you love, please head over and subscribe to those, because those subscriptions help us rise up in the search rankings in iTunes. It's really important for helping other Star Trek fans find Trekafilm programming. And also, please take a moment and leave us a star rating and a written review as well. We love to hear from you, love to hear what you think about the show, and that helps us rise up also. Now, we'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show and Prophet and Lace. The best place to do that is, of course, in our listeners' discussion group on Facebook called the Babel Conference. Matthew, tell everyone a little bit about the Babel Conference.
Well, the Babel Conference is our listeners-only discussion group, Chris, and it's really, I think, one of the best places to be having any kind of Star Trek discussion or, of course, anything we talked about on the 602 Club. It's really just, I think, the best geek hangout that I've seen online, with the most respectful discussion and the most fun discussion. We've just had, I think, some of the best discussions I ever had with geeks online. And
yeah, because we don't fight and argue about everything. We don't call each other stupid, and we don't digress into just the usual stuff that you see online and comment threads and Facebook. It's very respectful.
It is. And so I hope people will come and join us there, because, it's really that sense of community that's being created there that you just don't find in a lot of the other discussion groups in the first place. And with that, it's been a nice thing to be a part of. It's been a joy to be a part of, and I hope people want to kind of join the family.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way you get there is on Facebook, type Babel, B-A-B-E-L, into the search field, and it's a closed group, so you're going to need to click join. We'll let you right on in. If you're on our website, click discussion up on the menu bar. That'll take you there as well. Now, if you're not on Facebook, because we know not everyone is on Facebook, you can contact us in other ways. On Twitter, our username is TrekFM. You can also send us email. If you go to trek.fm/contact and use the form you find there, choose to send to a show, choose The Orb, and that'll come to both Matthew and me. And if you want to send us a voicemail, you can do that too. All you need is the mic on your smartphone or your tablet or your computer at speakpipe.com/trekfm. You can record it, upload it to us from the page right there, and we would love to hear your voice. Now, one other thing you can do to help us out here on the network is to support us through Patreon. We are a listener-supported network, so we do need your help to keep our programming coming. And if you go to patreon.com/trekfm, you can set any amount that you would like to contribute on a month-to-month basis, and that helps us cover the cost of production and storage and distribution and everything that's involved in producing these shows. We have such a large network, so much programming, it actually does cost us a lot of money every month to get this stuff out to you guys, but we love doing it, and so we hope we can continue with your help. Again, that's patreon.com/trekfm. And we'd also like to thank our associate producers here on The Orb, Norm Lau, Ruth Ward, Will Wynn, and Ken Tripp. They help us keep the programming coming to you as well. They support us through Patreon, and it's just really important, the support that they give us, so that we can keep gazing into The Orb for you week after week. So thank you, Norm, Ruth, Will, and Ken, for all of your support there. Now, Matthew, if people would like to find you personally, you know, when you're not dressing up in drag, seeing if you can outdo Lumba and catch the eye of Nilva, where can people find you?
Wow, I just knew you're going to go there, Chris.
See, well, of course, you knew I was going to go there, and it just reminds me, we have to find out how well we really know each other. I think that we need to challenge Earl Grey to a game of Bridge Mates.
Sounds like it, because I need our own plaque for our win made by Aaron.
Yes.
I'm really jealous, honestly.
Right, because so. We know we're going to win anyway, so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just Aaron, just get that started, and we'll pick that up after our win.
But we need a team name first, Matthew, yeah. So we got to talk about that off air.
Ooh, that's right. Vince Vance and the Valiants.
All right, so there you go, Earl Grey. gauntlet thrown down, Deep Space
Sluggo
Nine.
Sluggo Cola thrown down.
Yeah. No Yulwazer for you.
Well, you guys can find me on Twitter at MattRushing02. You can also find me doing literary treks with Dan, where we talk about the books and the comics of Star Trek. We actually just wrapped up the end of the 8th season of Deep Space Nine with Unity. You can also find me on the 602 Club, talking about all things geeky all the time. It's just a great place to hang out. Hope you'll join us there. And then you can also find me on my own personal blog at 42lifeinbetween.wordpress.com. Now, Chris, when you're not binging on Sluggo Cola and reading up on Quark's employee manuals, where can we find you?
Well, I'd have to be practicing umox, right? And I really don't want to, to do that.
Yeah.
I'm really not interested in that. So now you can find me on Twitter. My username is C. Brian Jones, letter C and Brian with a Y. You can also find me on Facebook in the Babel Conference. You can find me on my own personal website at cbrianjones.com. And you can find me on Instagram these days. I am basically giving everyone a glimpse into my life in the city here in Tokyo, as I've become a bit of a shutterbug recently. And if you like Star Wars, I've been trying to tease Matthew and John Mills here with all my photos of the Star Wars Visions exhibition, which is right across the street from my office right now.
It's pretty cool.
So you can find me in those places. And then here on the network, you can also find me on The Ready Room with hosts from all around the network as we talk about Star Trek news and all 5 live action series. And then from time to time, I also do Hyper Channel, which is also about Star Trek news. It's a pretty short little show. I just share my thoughts on a few things there. So that's where you can find me if you want to hear more of my thoughts on the world of Star Trek.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time as we gaze into the orb.